Welcome to Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn. Straight talk, enthusiastic support, and heartfelt encouragement for you to open up to your sacred sexuality. And now your host, Leslie Blackburn.
Yay, my love, thank you. I am noticing with delight the sun is just now shifted to peek into my studio and shine right on my face. And I'm closing my eyes and feeling it, and it's really lovely this beautiful morning. Yay. Welcome, all of you. Welcome those of you joining in live, or whether you're joining in the archives. It's an honor to be sharing. And each month, as always, we'll be including some meditations, discussion, education, and awareness on facets of our sexuality and consciousness that often we don't feel safe to openly explore. And this really is about giving ourselves a chance to notice what does feel safe and good. How can we slow down with love and respect and really honor our sexuality that is so often hidden in the shadows or squashed away or misunderstood? And that's what we get to explore today. And we'll include some stories of my own path. We'll have some questions today that listeners have sent my way and are inspiring what we're going to explore for today. And really let ourselves explore what's it like to slow down, listen, and honor our sacred sexuality. So with that, let's begin with a little settling in and being in our body. And just I invite you wherever you are, to invite an exhale with some sound. Give yourself permission to vibrate and to actually produce sound as a way to notice. Notice your breath. Notice your body. Notice how your body feels as you breathe, as you create sound. What do those vibrations feel like? Where do you feel them? Notice what you notice as you settle into your noticing your body. What sensations emerge? Can you feel temperature, movement, places that are expanding or contracting? Feel the way perhaps you're noticing pressure as you relate to the points of contact of your body with the earth through the floor or the cushions or the chair, wherever you may be seated or lying or standing. Let yourself feel how you can exhale, share some weight with the earth. And then receive the support of the earth. And then maybe holding an intention, health, healing, wholeness, new perspectives, new awareness, letting go of some of those old layers, the ones that are complete, that have served and are no longer needed. Invite an exhale to drop those away. And in an inhale, opening to receive, to allow a sense of yes, more please, welcoming in the light, the life, and whatever you choose to bring into your body. And with a breath of gratitude for taking time for you, gently bringing your awareness back into the visual realms, into the space you're in, opening your eyes, and we begin. So I'm excited today to share about a topic that has been really important through my whole journey of this path of sacred sexuality and of life, of being on the planet Earth, negotiating planet Earth this time around, and of recent requests from listeners, so questions and comments that came up around ideas to communicate on as I was out there asking, like, hey, what are your ideas? What are your questions for this show? And a few of those also inspired today's topic. So today we are exploring the nature of touch. And what's, you know, what is touch all about? And some questions that have come in on that. So we're going to start with a little bit of a story, actually a few words to lead into that story of how, really, how crucial touch is to life. That touch, human contact with another human, is crucial to life. And if we just look at it from sort of a mammalian perspective, I invite to reflect back to a time, if you've seen or when you've seen, maybe a pile of kittens in a litter that are nursing with mama, or little baby piglets. I remember seeing some baby piglets all just in a pile and, you know, sort of rooting around and having their faces squish up against other faces. And, you know, a foot might all of a sudden sort of jab towards an ear in this really soft, delicate way. And they're nuzzling in and they're finding their way to the breast. They're finding their way to make contact for nourishment, for support, for life. And that pile of piglets or pile of kittens or puppies, that's not just like, oh, accidental. Like, there's a reason that they're in that type of contact and connection. And it has to do with connection. And as we are consciousness coming into form, we meet and grow through experience, through relating through our bodies. I often talk about how it's such a gift to be in a physical body. Even when there's times in my life where I haven't liked things about my body, or I push it away, or, you know, those things that we might hold around self-loathing or disdain, to go, no, 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 no. It's really important to go to maybe start to shift the way we relate to our own bodies as well as other bodies. But this nature that through that contact, through the pressure of another body and feeling the physiological exchange, you know, feeling heart rate and warmth and pressure and breath. And this is all what supports us into a sense of relaxing into ourselves. That literally, studies have shown how, you know, 20 to 30 minutes of sustained contact can start to invite the brain to and the body to release those yummy, feel-good oxytocin types of hormones and chemicals that are about relaxing and opening into the nature of who we are. And so the story that I wanted to share, that how important touch is to life, how crucial it is to life. And there's been studies, actually, some unfortunate reportings of things where we see the opposite, where babies that aren't touched, maybe babies who have been abandoned or in orphanages, and some of the things that can happen when those aren't held in loving light. And I'm not saying this happens to all babies in orphanages, but this, the story of the sometimes the trauma that can happen when we aren't getting the contact that we need as natural human beings. And so let me shift that to a really positive story of, wow, what can happen when we do. So there was actually an interview that I saw, a video online of a couple that had been, and this was years ago, and I actually have a link to it from my website now because I found it to be so inspiring to underscore the nature of touch. That this couple in Australia had given birth to twins, and one of the babies had been pronounced dead at birth. And they were in a hospital in a traditional medical center, and the doctors brought the child back to the parents and said, you know, we've done all we can, and here he is to pay last respects. And so the baby's now received by mama and daddy and held against the mother's chest. And they both strip down shirts, and they're just holding skin-to-skin contact with this child and petting him and stroking him, having him lie against, you know, a mother's body. And within minutes, he starts to move a little bit. And within more minutes and over time, he opens his eyes, he starts to nurse breast milk from the mother's fingertips, and really starts to step back in. And they're all the while, they're in this place of like, we love you. We wanted you to tell you what your sister's name is. And we so, you know, welcome you here. And after this time, and the baby starts moving, and they're trying to invite the doctors back in, and the doctors are saying, oh, no, you know, it's reflexes, don't get your hopes up. And so they wouldn't come back in the room. And finally, they actually share it in the interview that they finally sort of have to fib a little bit that, okay, yeah, we've made peace with his death. Could you come back in? We have some questions. And finally, the doctors come back in and see this child has totally stepped back in. And now the interview's happening 5 or 6 months later. They're holding two healthy twins. And it's such a delight because I can see what it meant for me, this, the way I experienced it and I saw it, was that these two beautiful beings really held open a space. They said, we love you. You are wanted. Welcome here. And it was with this loving acceptance and touch that this child stepped back into life. And what it wasn't, what I noticed pretty distinctly, it wasn't, even when asked by an interviewer, it wasn't about grasping at him. It wasn't about, oh, the torture, we can't have you leave us. It was, we love you and welcome you. So there was a real difference in quality of acceptance and love and respect and holding space that's different from grasping or trying to pull at. And I just noticed that. And I believe that it was that loving, accepting touch that's what invited the space for that beautiful little being to say, yes, yes, actually, I am coming in. And it was profound to see to me. And so I invite, if you like, again, I have that link under some inspirational videos at my website. But the nature of touch and the importance of it was reflected to me at that point. And so I take that a step further, and I'm off. And we're going to go into a little bit of what I often share in workshops around the nature of touch, inspired by this question of someone saying, "Hey, can we have some awareness of what it's like to give versus take energy?" And those words in particular, I'm like, okay, we're going to come back to that because there's some specific things. And then we have another question a little later on that I'm going to come back to. So let's just start with this. How do we typically pattern touch? You know, and it's often we will, I'll sort of set the stage. And this is about what I've noticed in patterning in my own life, perhaps, in the people I've seen and been around through my life, but also as I've worked now with hundreds of clients over many, many years, that there are some themes to how those of us walking around as adults on the planet today experienced birth and growing up and life. And it's, I want to totally acknowledge it's different for every unique being. And there are also some patterns, some themes. So one of those themes is, I'm going to kind of give it in a story format, is like we'll often have this place where, okay, and these are themes that I've seen with Western culture, not necessarily other cultures in these same time frames, but in Western culture, in the societies, you know, in the United States where I've grown up and where I work with many people. I also work with people from other countries and other societies, and I do see some differences. And so this is sort of what I mean by the Western pattern that I've noticed. And that is, we're born and maybe we're touched and held. Great. Parents hold and touch. But then we're often like kind of put off in a crib in another room, bed separate, you know, and it's all about this. Let's try to wean them away, get them so they're off to another room. And then there becomes this point as we fast forward where we head off to kindergarten. You know, oh, wait, we start to toddle. We're starting to walk. And then it's like, oh, yay, walk on your own, you know, and be independent. And these aren't bad things. It's just a theme okay, now there's a time where they're heading off to kindergarten. And we tend to be like, okay, so now keep your hands to yourself. Right. So touch is maybe held for a couple of months and years early in their life. But then there becomes this training that happens. You can't touch anybody else. Keep your hands to yourself, you know. And so we're trained pretty early on socially to not make contact with other bodies. And all through school, you know, that tends to be what we see. Like, oh, traditional public schools especially, you know, don't touch. Keep your hands to yourself. Blah, 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 blah. And, you know, I see why that happens, and that's not you know, it's not a horrible thing all alone. I mean, learning to balance our contact, but that tends to be a tradition. So now we're taught, don't touch. We're not really given a way to meet those touch needs, even in the family setting. And so we go through life to maybe a puberty, and suddenly these hormones start to move through our bodies, and our bodies go, oh, wow, you know, we're human, and we have this natural innate instinct to connect, and maybe even to connect with sexual energy, with that hormonal drive of even procreation, which is big, and we can't ignore it. So now what happens is we might think that we're still saying, well, we're not going to touch, but there becomes this innate drive around, well, I need to make contact. And what happens is that contact gets patterned in with sexual energy, because that's when it tends to get strong enough to actually drive us to make some changes. So now we're learning about touch, not really by learning about touch. We're stumbling into it. It's often secretive. It's often hidden. It's often not talked about, or something that should be rushed because we really shouldn't be doing it right now, but there's that drive inside us that says we should. And so we get conflicted. And now all sorts of patterns can show up of, well, I need to touch, but if I touch, I'm bad. And so now that I'm touching and I feel good because it feels good, but now I'm a bad person because I feel good. And there's all sorts, and I'm just touching the tip of the iceberg of the patterning that can show up around this quality of touch. So then, you know, like I said, now we've been patterned where we might get touch, or we might find ways to meet that touch, but it tends to all be around, like, I must touch means sex. So now what shows up is it can either be like, well, touch means sex, good, I need that, I want that, or touch means sex, I don't feel ready for that, I don't feel safe, so I'm going to push it away. So now we're also convoluting, and there's just this spiral and a set of patterns that can go all sorts of different directions of spiraling towards, I can't stand to be touched, don't touch me ever, to I need to touch, but I'm a bad person, but I'm going to do it anyway, so that actually turns me on. And like, there's a whole cycle of different directions that that can spiral off into. So what I want to invite is, let's look at touch in a new way. Let's start to bring some awareness to how touch, how we can start to settle in, listen, and explore touch with a new vocabulary, a new awareness. And what I'm about to describe, which I've worked with clients for years now, came to me through some training through the International School of Temple Arts. And in particular, I believe, as I looked and did some research on the lineage of where this particular piece came from, it really feels connected with Dr. Betty Martin's work. And she's a beautiful teacher, educator, coach that does great work in the realms of touch and contact. So I'm going to call this what I call touch literacy. And it's about, let's sink in with some dynamics of touch. And the way I've offered it, as it's morphed in my journey, is let's look at four different dynamics. So if we start with, you know, all this that I've just said, and take a breath, like, wow, there's a lot in that field. So exhale, let yourself drop back into your body, feel your ground, and notice that touch is really directional. You know, who's this about? Who's this for? What's it about? Can really affect and influence that energetic can affect and influence the physical nature of the way touch feels. So let's just say, for example, if I'm touching a person's knee and it's because they would really like their knee to be touched, then I'm giving that touch and they're receiving it. Whereas if I'm touching that person's knee, but it's really about me, I'd really like to touch their knee, it's for my pleasure, then I'm taking that touch and they're allowing it. Now, any of those four things, giving, receiving, taking, and allowing, can be incredibly beautiful and wonderful and feel good. So it's not about that there's one better than another, or that there's a hierarchy of good and bad or anything like that. It's all about balance and awareness and choice and consent. So let's negotiate this nature of giving, receiving, allowing, and taking touch. You know, if it's about me, and I would like to receive touch, I might ask for something and ask if the giver, you know, would you touch me in this way? And the giver has their choice of, yes, that feels good for me. And they can offer giving that touch and we can continue. They may say, no, thank you, right? That giving doesn't feel like something that they're comfortable with for whatever reason. And so in this work, as in all work, we're honoring choice. We're honoring each other's truth. And so if I'm say in a mode of wanting to come in contact with somebody and it's about me, maybe I want to ask to take touch. So I might say, may I touch you in this way? May I touch the back of your neck, or may I stroke along your arm, you know, and make that request. So now I'm asking to take touch, and the person I'm asking has their full choice around whether they allow that or not. So then they're answering a yes or no based on, does allowing that feel good or not feel good? So in my workshops and things, there are different practices that we do to explore this at a body level. And what I want to just offer right now are the bit of the structure of the words of, like, what's it like as you explore that? Explore it with a partner, explore it with yourself, to ask these questions, get answers, and feel what it's like to be with that touch, so that the nature of touch becomes an inquiry in your body. And I've found that to be incredibly beautiful, supportive in my own journey of feeling in my body. What is my yes? What is my no? When you know, what do I need in each moment around that contact? So I want to invite the when we're touching someone and we think it's about giving, we need to check in. Is this really, am I really giving something that this person wants? Are they receiving? Because they may not be. And what's our motive? Is it about taking? Is it that I want this touch for myself? Sure, that's not a bad thing. So unwinding all these layers, yet it's also about consent. And is the person we're touching, are they consensually allowing that contact? And that in all of this, it's not about that each of those boxes happens all by themselves, although they can, and I encourage it. And that's actually part of what we explore in my work around, let's peel away all these layers of the onion and only look at one particular container right now. And we've talked about container on the show before. The value of, can we settle in and only look at this? Can we relax deeply into only receiving right now? And how does that feel in your body? You know, can we relax deeply into only allowing right now? And how does that feel? Or taking or giving? But that any of those by themselves, often when we're out in the world, they're all muddied and mucked up together, which is part of the reason that it feels muddy. So one of the examples I'll give is, you know, say we're making love with a partner and maybe it feels really good. Okay, beautiful. And now there's this shift and we feel it as sort of this isn't working for me anymore, you think in your head. And then maybe in your head you go, but, you know, my partner, I really love my partner and it's for them, so I'll just keep doing this. Okay. So what if now your partner at the same time is going, meh, literally isn't working for me. And you they go, well, but my partner, I love them and I'm going to keep doing it for them. So now each person thinks it's about the other person, and yet neither are enjoying it. So why spend any time there? You know, really letting ourselves slow down to go, oh, you know, how would it feel to shift this? You know, could I move in this way? I need to shift position. I need to shift my energy, you know, and just really speaking it and letting yourself explore the dynamics of it not having to go into one typical rhythmic pattern that you maybe are used to, the way, you know, contact goes or sexuality goes. Now, we're mixing two things. So I talked about touch and we're talking about sexuality. They're very connected, but they don't always have to be. We can feel good and feel yummy in our body and allow that sexual energy to move and arise and be present. It's the how we choose to work with it and our choices around behavior where it can sometimes get complicated because, I'll offer, of all that old patterning I just talked about. So if touch has all gotten swimmy with this like, well, the only way I knew how to do touch was connected with sex, then yeah, guess what? Sex shows up and we think that's what touch is about. And that's the only, and then our touch vice versa is going to only be patterned into our sexuality. So rewinding and unwinding that pattern to say, let's make contact. Oh yes, I can delight here in this type of contact and it feels good. And it doesn't have to be about moving into overtly working with sexual energy. But that said, we don't have to squash away the sensation of pleasure moving through our bodies either. That's beautiful and acceptable to be with. What has often happened is that that comes in and then people push it, you know, or people try to do something with it because they think they're supposed to, or they have to, or that because the other person is there, that other person is the target, so to speak, that, well, that other person aroused me, so I must do something to them or with them. And I want to invite, that's the repatterning. Like, let's back up off of that. It's not okay to make contact or to push or do anything without consent. So this nature of touch has a few more layers that I want to come to, and I'm going to have us take a breath and take a break, and I will be right back with more.
You are listening live to Body, Mind, Spirit Radio. Today is Tuesday, November 15th, 2016, and you are listening to Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn. If you'd like to talk with Leslie live on the air, give us a call at 646-378-0378. That number again is 646-378-0378. Now back to your host, Leslie Blackburn.
Thank you, my love. And yes, please do call in. Often, you know, when there's a question that comes up, bring it right in the moment. And there's a lot that can emerge as we kind of co-create. So feel free to bring those questions in here live. And when that doesn't feel good, do send me an email. Send me a message and let me know, you know, what's on your mind or questions or ideas for discussion. And I do take those and work with them. So please do. Now, the thing I want to go to next, so we're talking about touch, the nature of touch, and what I was starting to set the stage with is touch is an important part of who we are as humans, the need for touch and contact, and that's important and good and wonderful, and it's unfortunately often been patterned with, oh, it's bad or I shouldn't or I can't or it's tied to sex or it's got to be about this other thing, and that I want to invite. There are gentle ways to repattern that. As part of the work I do, I am often in a place of repatterning and working with holding space for loving new awareness around touch and contact. And that looks a number of ways. And I want to give actually one example of something that happened specifically when I was offering in a large workshop space. We had been exploring the nature of, you know, what are some touch dynamics? How can we explore this nature of giving, receiving, taking, and allowing? Or what's it like to notice when sexual energy rises up in an environment we don't associate with sex, like contact improv dance or other types of dances or connection? When we're in contact with other bodies, in traditional massages and things like this, where we go, oh, sex energy is not supposed to be here. How can I work with it or be with it? Or, you know, do I feel overwhelmed or threatened by it? And in sort of just letting ourselves come to a way, we were exploring this workshop, could we come into a way of really slowing down and listening to the body and work with some tools to repattern and also be with our own bodies and our own choices? And so as we were doing that, as I had shared about these touch dynamics, this person came up to me afterwards and they're like, I, you know what? There's something I missed. I missed something in this workshop that I didn't get. And she was kind of frustrated. And I said, okay, let's take a breath and like notice what's there. And she said, how do I stop someone from taking the whole hand when I've only offered a finger? And I was like, okay, let's breathe into that. Let's explore that for a moment. So I heard her share a little more of an example of how this had come up for her. And as I listened to her story and I held space for her story to be heard around this frustration that she had, was that, you know, here I've offered a finger and people take the whole hand and I don't understand, and how can I? And so I invited this. They were kind of these, what I noticed in it as we spiraled in this together, was that there were kind of four layers that I acknowledged in her body and in what I've also seen. That first, notice. So as we take a breath and we're in our own bodies and we're noticing, what is it that I really want? Notice what it is. What does my body even want right now? So we're coming inward and we're going, okay, you know, and in her example, you know, what if I'm offering only the finger and they take the whole hand? So she might take a moment to notice, I'm good with contact at my finger, you know? And so first of all, it's really hard to notice what that is sometimes. That to even begin to notice what our body message is around what would feel good and comfortable and safe can be incredibly, you know, a journey all on its own. So just acknowledging that for ourselves, like, oh, take the pressure off. It can be hard to know. And then number two, what, like, can I admit that, yes, I want this? Like, oh, I would like contact at my finger, for example. Like, that instead of it being, and this often happens, is that for many people, have felt overwhelmed with grasps and attempts at taking that didn't feel good and not knowing how to work with it in our body, that we will tend to shut down and just say, forget it, none. I want none, right? And we might be really good at just holding that arm's length that says, stay away. And I'll invite, again, we all need human contact and there's benefit and a joy. So instead of just holding it at arm's length, what is our yes? So on the second thing, so at first it's hard enough to notice what our body might want and to then also admit it, number two, to ourselves. Can I admit it to myself? Can I say yes to myself? Yes. Yes, it's okay to ask for this contact at the finger. And yes, I would like to have that type of contact. I'm using the finger and hand just as a continuation of this particular analogy, but this could be anywhere. This could be, I really would like to feel this embrace right now. I really would like to rest my body against this other being and just have them feel the pressure of contact and have me feel the support of letting go into them. You know, whatever the layer is, I'm going to continue with the finger and the hand for now. So that we've noticed it, number one, now admitting it to ourselves, saying yes to myself, that yes, I do really want this, that can be hard, right? So acknowledging that all in itself, admitting that we might actually like a certain type of contact also has things patterned into it. Maybe times where we're told we shouldn't, don't touch yourself like that, or don't be touched like that, or you're a bad person, whatever. Just notice that. But then number three, once we've noticed, once we've admitted to ourselves, can I actually ask for that? Can I now actually speak and communicate to someone else what I'm noticing and starting to maybe burgeon open inside myself, right? It's starting to flower. It's starting to peek open and say, yeah, I might like this, but I'm nervous, and communicating it is another layer. And so just acknowledging that. So that number three, we can actually ask for that. Yes, would you touch my finger? Would you hold my finger, perhaps? So now you're communicating it. And then number four, so now let's say you've gotten the courage and you've figured out all of these pieces to notice what it is, to admit it to yourself, to actually ask for it outside of yourself and communicate it. Can we actually go into the fourth step to actually allow ourselves to receive what we just asked for? So we've asked for touch, perhaps. Can we really relax into receiving it? Do we feel worthy of that? Do we feel like we deserve this contact? Because yes, we're worthy, and yes, we deserve it. Yes, you're worthy, And yes, you deserve it. And what shows up? All of these layers, all four of these, have so much in them, often patterned through our bodies and in our psyches, that it can be really hard to give ourselves permission to meet it. And in this case, pointed these out, and as we talked through this together, it clicked. It was huge. She's like, yes, each of those steps can feel terrifying. And being validated in them was a huge thing. To just be affirmed that, yes, that can feel hard. That was huge. And to, as she let herself notice and hold space for that, it opened up this amazing sense of, I had no idea this was even possible. You mean I can be met in what I want? I can be met in what I want without, I've just asked for this and now you're going to expect all this other stuff? Or without, I've just asked for this and now you're going to be terrified by my request? Right? So it's, there's so many threads to this. And often for one of us, for each of us, there'll be this one thing that's always a part of our pattern. So we may not even realize the spectrum, right? The worry that, well, if I ask for this, somebody's going to take too much. That shows up a lot. But there's also the fear of, well, if I ask for this, is the other person going to be terrified and say no, or like not want it? And now we can honor the no, but to know that that no isn't about us. It's their choice and what's going on for them. So the fears, you know, acknowledging that those fears are real and giving ourselves permission to navigate with, oh, I'm allowed to ask and honor the other person's truth. So this was a big deal. Acknowledging all of the levels of what the nature of touch and negotiating touch, and when we really slow down and get into it, the layers that are involved with it, are part of what gives us permission to unwind them. Because sometimes our body just wants to be heard. Like it's been, maybe my body, this is an example, right? My body, I notice if I'm clenched and like lifted in my breath where my butt's kind of tucked under and my tailbone's held and my breath is high up in my chest and shallow and my shoulders are maybe coming up near my ears, these, and you know, I'm feeling this sense of maybe faster breath. When I'm noticing all that lifted up, that's a signal. My body doesn't feel safe and I don't feel good. And I may need something different. And often I have zoomed around in my past, zoomed over that so many times that, you know, my body got to the point of just screaming, you know, neck pain and all sorts of things from these perpetual clenching that I was holding, that when I could start to listen and then communicate about it and hold the space for my body on what it needed, oh, huge. I could start to relax, unwind. I felt empowered, more confident. I could make choices and navigate. And then my body began to trust me and go, oh, you're listening. Okay. We'll quit gripping so hard. Because you're listening, right? When you can listen and really acknowledge the body's messages, things change. There's such wisdom as we listen to our body. So that one thing that she thought she had missed, actually, as we started to talk about this, she found it. She's walked through and said, hey, I'm noticing these layers. And she's like, how do I do this? How do I stop someone from taking the whole hand when I've only offered the finger? She found it in her body. She, you know, letting herself slow down, noticing it's real and possible, noticing all those layers, that the body message is there, that I can admit it, that I can actually ask for it, and then I can allow myself to receive it, are all a piece of how that supports ourselves and gives ourselves the courage to acknowledge it as a valid want. You know, giving ourselves that self-permission to go, no, my want is valid and I'm going to stand up for it. I'm going to hold space for it. Hey, this doesn't feel good for me right now. I've offered the finger and you're taking the whole hand. You can make the choice to say no, thank you. And when we zoom around at 99 miles an hour, it's hard enough to have enough space to discern what you want to shift, let alone ask for it. And so you practice slowly, in spaces where you're just meeting it a little bit at a time and build that confidence. And then she said, yeah. And then it's like once I'm vibrating at that and vibrating that quality of what I'm holding, that's what I will attract. And I affirmed, yes, yes, I believe that to be true. Once we are, you know, just walking our own pieces and we start to shift something in ourselves, it will shift how we interact and what comes in. Because as I say all this, what comes up is the question, and I know some of you are out there thinking this, like, well, but what are those times, you know, where I didn't have a choice, I didn't have control, and I was hurt or abused or touched or pushed, or the people who, you know, or maybe it's the victims of abuse that we look at from the outside and go, well, what about this group of people that are pushed around and bullied in some way? Yeah, I'm not saying any of those things are okay at all. And yeah, absolutely, we need to make changes that support ourselves to shift our actions with others. And there is a power, because we can't change other people. We can offer possibility. We can offer and encourage and give choices and offer possibility, but we can't change other people. We can change ourselves and how we react and respond. And through that, we're changing the world. And I know that might sound pie in the sky, big. It is big, but it is real. And so I'm not saying push ourselves into situations where we don't feel safe and we're at risk of being hurt. No, I'm saying let's slow down. Let's listen. And we can revamp and change. And this is about really trusting our own bodies and trusting the wisdom from within and not giving up our power to anybody outside of ourselves. To go, you know, I'm going to slow down and listen. What do I need? Do I need to be out of a situation? Do I need to change where I'm? And then reach out for help. I'm not saying this is we're all alone in this. If we're in a situation where it doesn't feel safe or good, what do we need to shift that? And can I reach out and get the help that I need to change? If I'm in a place where I feel like I need some support, can I reach out and ask for that? And so trusting your capacity to do that, you know, your body knows. And I believe that slowing down and really listening is the root of what supports all the rest. And when we can connect with our body and its wisdom and just hold space and love it for exactly who it is and know that we, you know, we're going to stumble and we're going to do our best and it's not going to always be perfect. And that is perfect, right? It's all in divine order and divine timing, but that we really do have choice on our lives and how we create them. And so I say all this with this, really this richness of, you know, we can make a change on how it feels, on if it feels like we're constantly dealing with somebody trying to take too much of us. Can we shift that through the way we hold space for ourselves? And can we shift that in the way that we offer relating with other people? Can we hold ourselves with compassion? Can we hold our own bodies with compassion of, you know, sometimes just listening and making a shift, a gentle shift earlier, you know, rather than letting it build up and becoming a big, all of a sudden, we just explode because we've held back on communicating something that has been important all along, but we just didn't quite see it or felt shy to say it. You know, I'll just speak from my own example. I went for years sort of tolerating different things in my life. And I got to this place where I was filled with so much anger, so much anger. I was constantly squirting out. I was yelling at people at work and I'd come home and yell at my husband and there's so much anger. And I realized what was happening as I had kind of a deep aha moment. And wow, did my ego hate this. Oh, but this day I'm screaming and I'll be frank, at my husband. And just yelling about something he had done that clearly, you know, if I showed anybody outside of our situation, they would totally see that what he had done was this horrible thing and whatever. I'm yelling about it. And he just looks at me and he goes, you have an anger management problem. And that lit me up even more. So I start screaming even more, like, I don't have an anger management, you know, just scream. And when I noticed that day, and my ego wasn't ready to admit that day, but I noticed it, it planted because it came back later when I could finally soften into seeing it. But it came back later, but I was livid, but I felt it. He was right. He was totally right. I was not needing what I needed. I was tolerating and pushing things under the surface, and I wasn't making the change I needed to make. And when I started to acknowledge that and notice it and take my own responsibility for it and quit blaming him or the people around me, that's when I was able to make a shift. And I haven't had that type of an explosion of anger, you know, since I've been meeting my anger in the moment and letting it move through. It doesn't build up, you know? So yeah, it might rise up. I'm not saying it's all smiley, happy and unicorns, happy rainbows and unicorns, as I say. You know, it's not like we're going to go just like stuff everything down and smile through life, but there is a way to process, listen, unwind, repattern, and let these things move through our bodies and really honor that we are emotional, spiritual, mental, and physical beings. And if we're only paying attention to mental, which is often the case in our society, we're only thinking, talking. If we're only paying attention to those, we're missing three very important facets of our being, the spiritual, the emotional, the physical, the body. So letting ourselves actually widen to meet all of the nature of our energetic being, clearing our emotional field, clearing our physical body, letting ourselves be authentic and align with who we are, remembering who we are. This is all connected with touch. Touch is about relating and connecting. And it's part of how we learn and grow. It's why it's often so highly charged. You know, touch can be either really feel really good or feel really horrible or triggering or traumatic. And what I want to invite is that that can shift. And part of that shift is not just stay away from it forever, but can we gently meet it and when held in a safe space, together co-create that so that the body can unwind the messages it's carried, maybe the old patterns that it carried to keep itself safe when we were little, when something horrible did happen and we didn't have the ability to, you know, when we're little beings, we need parents, we need other people to support and love us and show us the way. And when that's not there, we're awfully darn good at making it happen. We survive. But there's sometimes a pattern that we create to feel safe. Maybe we check out of our bodies. Maybe we numb out. Maybe we dissociate. Maybe we push away. There's all sorts of ways that we try to protect our little hearts and our little selves. Absolutely. And guess what? Those things aren't bad. They are what protected us. They are what held us safe. And now, as we are in the adult place of maybe meeting it in a new way, we can unwind it without swimming around in the past, but we can meet it in the now and let it be heard and kind of grow, learn, and move forward. Let it release from the body, provide its wisdom, and move on. And this is powerful. And touch is one of the most profound ways to meet that energy. So as we then settle in with this, I'm going to invite us to take another break, and we're going to come back for a final piece as we explore this nature of touch.
Thank you for joining us today. You are listening live to Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn. Leslie has a new website. It's new and improved and mobile-friendly. Check out radio podcasts, videocasts, and more free resources at leslieblackburn.com. The website also has the full class and event schedule, information on private sessions, mailing list sign-up, and much more, again, at leslieblackburn.com. Announcing the live video workshops, the 2000 Ball series of sacred sexuality classes are being offered by live webinar. This new format supports those of you across the globe to join in from the comfort of your own space. Next up is Tantric Orgasm and Anatomy for All Gender Identities, hosted by Leslie, Monday, November 21st, from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern. You must pre-register to get instructions on how to join, and you will also receive a private way to access the replay in case you are unable to join live. And you can still sign up for the entire series of Sacred Sexuality webinars. You will get access to the replays for those that have already passed, and you can join in live or by replay for the ones coming up. See leslieblackburn.com for details. Also, Leslie's Tantric Energy Touch Workshop is available on CD. Have you ever wanted to attend a class but were a little nervous about the group setting? Explore a live Tantric Energy Touch class in the comfort of your home with a partner or by yourself. This audio is on this audio CD. Order online at the website. The best way to get announcements about upcoming events, as well as inspirational stories, videos, and radio show archives, is to subscribe to the email newsletter by clicking on the link on the website, again, leslieblackburn.com. Leslie's Sacred Sexuality Videocast airs monthly. You can choose your level of involvement, whether you want to be part of the conversation live or just sit back and take it in. See details at the website to join in. The next one is Wednesday, January 4th at 10 a.m. Eastern. Finally, a reminder that Leslie is available for speaking engagements and for private sessions. More information at the website, leslieblackburn.com. And now, back to your host, Leslie Blackburn.
Letting yourself settle back in. Notice your breath. Notice your body. Bite some sound. Let yourself be heard. And as you feel the earth, your ground, notice and invite a sense of capable. Ground. Accepted. Feel how, as we plug into our body, feel what you notice in it. Notice the shift that can happen when we take a breath and sit with that, with capable, important. You are capable and important. And then perhaps bringing your awareness to a sense of light, of peace. Feel, what does it feel like in your heart as you hold that space? So notice for a moment what it's like to feel the sensation in your body. Without judging it, just notice, is there a place where you feel a pressure or a movement, a temperature sensation? I can feel a coolness across the back of my left hand running down the edge and around to my pinky finger. I feel pressure under my sit bones and my leg. I feel a little bit of a spiraling through my spine, my torso. A little expansion across my chest. Notice these sensations of your body experience in the present moment, right now. Not what it was earlier, not what you think it's going to be later. And just honor those with being seen. Don't have to do anything with it. Just no judging it. Just notice it. And then invite a breath of gratitude for yourself. Again, for taking time for you, for slowing down in busy, hectic schedules. That's profound, giving yourself permission to slow down, to treat you, to your own self-awareness. And with that deep gratitude, resting in this field of oneness that we all share, resting our hearts, that light inside, and feel, we are all in this together. We are all connected, and everything's going to be okay. Trusting in that. And with that, deep space, namaste.
Thank you for joining us today for Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn. If you'd like to contact Leslie, please visit her website, leslieblackburn.com. Leslie is also available for private sessions, and you can find out more information about this at the website. Thanks, everyone, for joining us, and have a beautiful day.
Join us again next time for continued support on your path of self-realization. The power is within you to heal your body, connect deeply with others, manifest your heart's desires, and experience your deepest bliss. By our healing, we impact others, inspiring love for humanity and the planet. Thank you for joining us for Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn.